This podcast is about how sight people underestimate us blind people. These interviews will prove you guys wrong. The first interview is with a student named Sarah. And then we will interview a teacher named Miss Tenzi. After that, my favorite teacher, Mr. Tim. And last but not least, my parents.
Were you born with a disability or were you born with sighting?
I was born blind. I have optic nerve hypoplasia, which means that one of the nerves to the brain relating to sight is way underdeveloped.
Are you able to see light or is it just nothing?
I can see light. I can tell the lights are off in here, which is my preference usually.
It's my preference, but is it difficult to form really good relationships with people because of your disability?
For the most part, no, but sometimes it can be. Like, for example, I remember I was at Prairie, so most of the time people weren't even sitting next to me at lunch. And the one time I found somebody, a group of people, they were just talking about Minecraft and Jetpack Joyride, and they weren't even acknowledging me when I was trying to talk.
Is it normal for people to, disregard you in conversation, or...
Yeah, probably because I'm too nerdy, but then again, I have another friend who has that happen too, because, you know, we think alike and whatnot, and we also think we have the same personality type.
Do you find yourself able to connect more with blind people because of their disability, or is it just, another person?
It's more because of their disability and because, you know, they do things just the... Because they do things exactly the way I would. Like, they use computers the same way I would. They play the same games I would. They do everything just about the same way I would.
What kind of games can you play that are more accepting of you being blind?
Okay, so my favorite game is Crazy Party. So there's a few modes. There's Adventure Mode, my least favorite mode, by the way. And there's Board Mode, where you have to... where certain spots give you coins, others don't. And then there's Battle Mode, aka my favorite mode, the mode that I kick everybody's butts in. And I have all the battle cards unlocked. And there are also, you know, FPS shooters made for blind and some other, just about everything you could possibly think of. Like the other day when I was, on my off day, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember. I was at my grandma's just bored using my least favorite computer and I found this train simulator. So apparently you could drive a train blind.
Wow. Is it easy for you to know where a person is from how they're talking, or is it a little bit more difficult? More so in the room where they are.
But yeah.
Because you can pick up on sound a lot better. Is there an accent that really stands out to you because of either the way the words are pronounced?
They all kind of stand out to me. But, yeah.
Is there one that specifically stands out more?
Not really. Fun fact, my favorite accent is the Arabic accent.
What got you interested in Arabic?
it was the pandemic, and I was going through lots of stress, and there was just, lots of stuff in my personal life going on, and so because I use the computer differently, I was looking for more voices, so because using the same voice can get boring, and so I found this website that offered nuanced vocalizer voices for free, which normally they're not free, so I found this website, so I downloaded all the English voices, and keep in mind, before 2020, it was uncharacteristic of me to download other languages, so I downloaded the Arabic Tarek voice, and man, did it sound so cool. And I just suddenly downloaded every language, they were out of style, but Arabic, as since then, and as of now, is still the best.
Does certain equipment for, blind people, is that really expensive, or is it, moderate compared to
It's thousands of dollars. Like, for an example, there's a screen reader called JAWS, which, unlike NVDA, you have to pay, like, $1,000 for it, and you'd be better off cracking it, which means you'd better off be getting the trial version and making a program that generates keys just for it. Which I do with a lot of those voices. Because, you know, just imagine getting a high quality English voice for $300. My parents do not approve of that.
Are your parents blind as well?
No. I'm the only one.
Do you have any siblings that are?
No.
So, is there a way that later on in life, if you have kids, that it would be passed on?
I don't know. I'm not even planning on having kids.
The next interview is from a school teacher named Miss Hensey.
What type of computer do you use for visual impairment, and how do you know how to navigate all of this?
Good question. So, I use just a regular Windows computer, just with specialized software like NVDA, though I could use a Mac or Linux computer if I really wanted to, and I've experimented with all sorts of computers, but Windows is the most widely used. How I navigate it is just with the keyboard. Like, for example, if I want the start menu, I just press Windows key. If I want to just see what's on the screen, I just arrow around. And if I want to, can't explain a third thing, I just tab.
So none of your keys have Braille on them or anything?
When I was starting out, I did need Braille because I often got confused. And there was a program called Talking Type, which would teach me the keys. And I eventually learned how to get from key to key via motor memory.
I know that you know Braille. So when did you learn Braille?
When I was only 3 years old.
How long did it take you to learn that then?
At least 5 years or so. Because first there's like the basic letters, and there's these things called contractions. Like just one little set of cells or something like that. That's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's width.
Oh my goodness. That is...
And there are also letter contractions. Like, so that's 1, 2, 4, and 5. That's G. But it could also be go if you use it the right time.
Mm-hmm. Are there multiple types of Braille, or is there just one type?
Mm-hmm. There are multiple types. There's computer Braille, there's UEB, and then there's Nemeth. And I use Nemeth for math, and I use, cannot remember what they call older Braille, because I don't use UEB.
Mm.
But whatever was popular back in 2007, that is.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty old. One of my main questions I want to know, because I've also had a student with a visual impairment, do you think it would have been easier to attend the school for the blind and visually impaired than public school?
That is a good question, because I actually know somebody who attends the blind school, and they make lots of complaints.
But really?
Then again, I also know somebody else who likes it. Like, because this Hunter person, he lives in Wisconsin, he goes to Wisconsin School for the Blind, and yep. He makes all these complaints. That they push for independence, but when he wants to go to the gas station, you have to have a staff member with you.
Mm. What do you think personally then? Do you think you would have enjoyed it, or are you enjoying your time here in like a public school setting?
I think I might have enjoyed it better because I wouldn't have had to go through the 4+ program after this.
Oh,
and my life would just be normal.
What does a 4+ program look like for someone who's enjoying it? What are you doing in this 4+ program?
Well, so I'm going all the way to Council Bluffs, and they're going to tell... they're just going to teach me what my parents weren't able to teach me, like how to cook and all these other things.
That is so fun. I've been to the Council Bluffs school there before. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed my time up there. It was really fun.
And my parents are going to make me stay there for 3 years, even though I personally want to get out of there ASAP.
Yeah. Hopefully you learn a lot of good skills up there.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm a fast learner when it comes to other things. Hopefully I'm a fast learner when it comes to this independent stuff.
I hope. That kind of leads me into my other question then. What do you think it would have been, when you're learning a new skill, is it easier for you just to have someone tell you about it, or to use tactile or concrete objects when learning a new skill?
I tend to prefer when people tell me about it.
Oh. I like that. I wouldn't know personally, since I would have assumed more of a tactile, but I like it. What type of visual impairment do you have? I know there's a lot out there, like CVI, ONH, NVI.
ONH.
You have ONH. What does that stand for?
Optic nerve hypoplasia. So one of the nerves in the brain is underdeveloped, basically.
Oh. I did not know that's what that stood for. I've heard about it, but...
Like, very underdeveloped.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the reason why I can't see.
Looking at the... Since you have ONH, do you have any sensations to light or color, or are you completely blind?
I can see light, and I can tell when it's dark, so... But other than that, that's really all.
What kind of light can you see, like, when it's very bright, or, like, can you see classroom light, or...
Like, I can see classroom light, and if you were able to turn off the lights, I'd be able to tell you that you'd done so.
So have you ever used something called, like, what is it called? A light box before? You know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
I just didn't know. That's what I used last year for my school. Yep, it's a backlit object, so you can put stuff in front of it, and then they can see it.
I think that's more for low vision.
I don't know. My students with CGI used it last year quite a bit. Let me look at some more. How do you differentiate between people? Like, if someone comes up to you, how do you know who they are?
Mm-hmm. The sound of their voice, and in my family, like, the feel of their arms, et cetera, et cetera.
You ever smell them as well? Not that they've smelled bad or anything.
Yes, I do. I do smell my family members. Like, I can tell if it's mom or grandma or whatever. They just have distinct smells.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I get it. A lot of people wear different lotions and perfumes quite a bit.
And even if they don't, I can somehow still tell it's them.
Do you ever know when it's Tony?
Yeah.
How can you tell if it's Tony?
I just know.
You just know? Does she smell?
Yes, she has a unique smell of her own. And sometimes she wears perfume. I'm like, I know.
And it smells.
How do you know what you're eating for lunch? Like, when Tony gets it for you, do you know what you're eating every day? Or does she just surprise you?
I know what I'm eating, and at a young age, I was taught what different foods were by the feel of them and by the taste, etc.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite
pizza?
What kind of pizza? All pizza, or?
All pizza for the most part, just no veggie pizza.
That's my favorite. I love broccoli pizza.
Oh, broccoli! Gross!
It's my favorite kind to eat. One of my last questions for you is, what could teachers do better or differently to help you learn?
As of now, it seems as if they've been, you know, doing everything right, and unlike Prairie, where they just say, you can't do this, you can't do that, etc., etc.
So you go, right now everything's going pretty well then?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad.
The next interview is with my favorite teacher, Mr. Tim.
Alright, now, we got Mr. Tim, aka my favorite teacher, and he is going to ask me some questions.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay, so Brandon, I've always been... So what was the... When you first came here, because I had you in class, what was the most difficult thing when you first came here?
Most difficult thing? That would have had to have been my eye problems, which... Luckily, they've gone away. I still have days where I'm still nervous. Like, there are still days where inside, I don't say this, I don't really tell many people about this, but there are still days I'm like, oh God, is this going to happen again?
You're just worrying about it?
Yes, honestly. Yeah, it happened.
So how long did it take you to figure out to get from class to class?
It actually took me a few days.
So how do you do that? Tell me what the process is to learn how to get around the school.
It's called motor memory. Usually what happens is my mobility teacher, they usually tell me where the classes are, and we usually... So before the first day or first semester, we used to they'd tell me where the classrooms were, and we'd walk around them... We walk in them and, like, where they are, like, two or three times in a day. Sometimes we do it again. And then when I got to school, I'd have at least an idea of where they were. Not, I didn't necessarily get there, like, how do I say this? I was close, but, you know, because, you know, my memory of where the rooms are was still kind of fuzzy, so it usually takes me a few tries to get it burnt into my memory, and then I just... Body takes over.
So, tell me this. So, like, you walk in the door. You've been in my room a whole bunch of times, right?
Yeah.
Lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you walk in the door. Tell me what you think about when you would come to my room. So, tell me the process you do to come to my room. So, I'm just interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I could...
Start in the office. Start in the office. You're going to come up to my room on the second floor.
Okay, I'm in the office. So I just say I'm in the chair. I just walk out, and then my body takes over to the elevator. And then I, you know, wait from there. Even though I know the directions, my body just takes over. I just know. I don't even have to think anymore. I just do.
Did you used to count steps?
No. I used to have, I used to have to look at the room number.
Mm-hmm. So, like, how hard is it to learn Braille? I was interested in that. How long does that take to learn Braille? Because I've seen how fast, like, it goes by your fingers, and I don't understand how you can even do anything, you know what I mean? So, when and how did you learn Braille?
I learned Braille when I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. It took me at least 5 years to learn, to get sufficient at Braille. So at first I was able to learn letters and numbers, and, you know, learn generally, like, how to read Braille. Like, they used to print out a Braille line and with full cells and other things, which, you know, was like a general idea of how to read Braille. And then in second grade, they taught me how to read Braille contractions, and I was doing this over the summer, like, not even at school. Like, Shelley, my TBI at the time, she'd come to my house.
TBI.
Teacher of Visually Impaired.
Oh, TBI. Okay.
Uh-huh. She'd come to my house in the morning, and we would, and she'd teach me a few contractions every day.
So, like, what do you mean by contractions? So tell me how it
works. Like a set of Braille cells that translates into a word without actually typing it. Like, for an example, that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is width, and that's or there are letters that could translate to a contraction. If you just do G, without the letter indicator, that could also translate to go.
Oh, so it's like shorthand kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how many words per minute can you read in Braille? Do you know?
Last we checked, around 80.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
even though I can talk and type faster than that.
So what's your favorite thing to do in your free time?
Talk to my friends, audio edit, collect cell phones.
So tell me, because I know this, so why did you start collecting cell phones? This has always kind of interested me. So first, how many cell phones do you have? And then why did you start collecting them?
As of New Year's Eve 2022, I have 187. And
where do you keep them all?
Some on my desk, and others, and the majority in a box at my grandma's. So my parents have told me, as far back as being a baby, every time a phone would ring, I would try to grab at it. Whether it was a home phone or a cell phone, it didn't matter. I'd try to grab at it. And I have old memories from 2006 where, you know, moms, grandmas, whoever, they'd just play the ringtones for me. And sometimes I'd take over. I just knew what buttons to press.
And so now you can identify lots of phones by their ring, right?
Yes.
Which is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite of the 187 you said?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite one out of 187? You have to pick one. You have to pick one. What's your favorite out of 187?
The Motorola V810 from 2003.
Why?
Because it has one of the best ringtones I've ever heard in my life. It's called Energized. I'm actually going to put a clip of that in the podcast.
Just because of that ringtone. You like that ringtone?
Yeah. Let's just say when it quit working, I started crying. I was going through a long, like, 2-year depression about it.
So do you have you have other people who are visually impaired that you stay in contact with?
A handful. I have at least 81 people in my Skype contacts.
And those are...
Though most of them, you know...
Most of them can see, or most of them visually impaired?
Most of them are visually impaired. I don't talk to a good amount of them for reasons. But there are at least 15 or 20 I do keep in touch with.
So what do you want to do? You're done in May. What do you want to do then?
Okay, so... My parents are going to make me go to a 4+ program so I can learn more independence. And after that, I'm going to do one of three things. Be a computer programmer, a radio DJ, preferably at Rock 108 or X107.5, or an audio editor, like what I'm going to do to this podcast.
You'd make a good DJ. So what kind of music do you like best?
Lately, it seems to be rock and alternative. Well, actually, no. It seems to be like more foreign stuff, like German rock and Mexican music and Arab music.
So who is your favorite artist as far as music right now? I mean, I know it changes for people. Who's your favorite artist today?
As of New Year's Eve, it's been Drafi Deutscher, who's a 60s German artist.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
Good question. Well, it all started when I was just death browsing Elton, and I found this dude's blog, and there was a sample of this drunk guy, because he has audio surveillance outside of his house. There was a sample of this drunk guy at the crazy hours of the morning singing this German song from the 60s, and because he mentioned the song title in the text post, I thought I'd look it up.
And that led you to that being your favorite music right now?
Yeah.
So, if you could live anywhere, where would you want to live?
I've been saying this for years, but I'm staying here. I don't want to move all that far from my family.
Have you done much traveling?
Yes, I've been to Wisconsin a few times.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go in Wisconsin?
Milwaukee when I was only 4 years old, like to like a petting zoo and to my grandma's friend's house. We spent a few nights there, and I went to Wisconsin Dells back in 2014 with family.
Did you like go to the baseball game last year?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was interesting.
Besides music, what other kinds of things do you enjoy?
Well, I'm obviously big into technology. And computer voices, because, as I've said many times, using the same one can get on my nerves.
So you like to hear different voices?
Yes.
It's funny, I never really thought about that, but it'd be, I understand, after you talked about that, I understand why it'd be nice to hear different voices, because everything you have is computer voice. I mean, everything comes, like so much stuff you have, comes from computer voice, right?
Yeah, and... Yeah. And if you can't tell, the computer voices on this computer are so, you know, robotic and intimidating, and the ones I use at home are way more human-like.
Hello, this is Ryan, one of Brandon's favorite computer voices. I sound way more human-like and less intimidating, right?
After I say the way more human-like, I'm gonna splice a recording of Ryan into this recording.
Ryan.
As in the TTS voice that I primarily use.
So, like, can you have different dialects? Can you get, like, a southern accent?
Yes, there's a voice made by acapella called Micah, which I don't, unfortunately, have. I've been looking for all the acapella voices. And, yes, Yusuf is made by that same company, acapella.
Oh, the old Yusuf days. I remember that.
I'm still looking.
You're still down here. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think I have any more questions. How was that?
That was pretty good.
The last interview is with my parents.
Okay, Brando. So what's the hardest thing that you learned how to do in your daily life?
Pouring milk and cereal and not overfilling it.
You gonna elaborate on that?
Like overfilling either the milk or the cereal, because I tend to make lots of messes. Like, usually when I think it's perfect, it's either just a tad bit overfilled.
trial and error.
What made you decide to be a cane traveler instead of using a guide dog like some other people that are blind do?
First off, only 3% of people travel via guide dog. Second off, I'm just not big into dogs. I did, like certain dogs, yes, but others, just no. And when you take the vest off the dog, they turn normal before you ask.
Turn normal?
Like they turn new, like they act as a normal dog rather than a job. Rather than when they're on the job.
I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day.
Try to.
Does it bother you when people try doing things for you that you can do on your own?
Yes. But then again, there are some days I just let it slide.
You think that's the best thing to do?
Not always.
Because you're not always going to have those people there to do it for you.
So if you could pick a sport that you've learned how to play, in, like in gym class or whatnot, what would your favorite one be and why?
Tennis, because when I was in gym class, the gym teacher would walk a few feet away from me, and when he'd blow the whistle, I'd swing the racket.
And you like swinging it?
Yeah. If only there was tennis for the computer, that'd be cool. Well, there is, but it's paid, and the company doesn't make it anymore anyway.
So what's your favorite computer game for the blind?
Crazy Party. There's 3 modes. There's adventure mode, where you can play these little mini games. Just about anything from.
What do you mean mini games?
Anything from picking flowers into the woods to trying to rescue a duck who's in the rain, and then they're more for like earning coins, and you know
leveling up. Like little side missions to earn coins and stuff.
Yeah, and then board mode. You can do this online as well. You can do most of these online, where certain parts of the board give you coins, others don't, and others are mini game squares.
So, do they have different games for the blind?
Yes, I have a handful of them, old, new, whatever. Like recently, I found a train simulator, and the last mode in Crazy Party is battle mode, well, my favorite mode. You can do this offline, but I prefer online because I don't like to. I'm not big into battling bots, and I have a bunch of custom decks.
So you want to tell us more about like what is
the objective of the game?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean decks?
Like card decks, like mixes. Like for example, my favorite deck. it's a mix of. Well, it's it's just certain ground cards. Like, for example, Energetic Song of the Dune has Energetic Mining and then a few other grass cards and then mostly Song of the Dune cards, which, if you're leveled up enough, you could kill someone in one hit. Which, most cards don't do that, but they're...
So is that kind of like, say, Pokemon? So it's kind of like Pokemon, how they have like cards with like the dragon guy on it, Charizard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he fights the other person's card or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. It is, especially the bot battles are more like that.
The Gathering or whatever.
Yeah.
Just making sure that it's...
Has there ever been anything you wanted to do but couldn't because of your blindness?
No, not really. When I was in high school, I wanted to do coding, but the way they did it was way different than normal coding. They had to move blocks around to make the regular code, the numbers and letters that you'd normally type into the computer, or interpreter, I should say.
And what, they couldn't use that with the voiceover?
You can't drag and drop using voiceover. I mean, screen readers. You can't drag and drop. It's keyboard input only.
Oh.
What are your plans?
My plans?
After school. Like, after high school and Orchard Place.
Orchard
Place? Not Orchard Place.
4 Plus?
4 Plus. Sorry.
to be a computer programmer somewhere, or a radio DJ, either Rock 108 or X107.5, or audio editor. Even though the computer programming and audio editor jobs I saw were mostly out of state, unfortunately, and I do not want to move out of state.
Have you looked into these jobs to see if they are blind friendly, like you would be able to get a job in something like that?
I cannot find any information relating to blind friendliness and jobs most of the time.
Didn't you say you knew people?
Yeah, I know people who do online radio DJing, and I know a handful of people who code. As for audio editing, at least half the blind community knows how to do that.
Yeah, but do any of them have any jobs in it?
No.
Because I could definitely see, as much as you work on your computer or play around on your computer or whatever, I could see you being able to. I mean, you're editing this. You're going to be editing this on the podcast.
Yes, with background music and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And there's going to be.
I could see how you could do that. I mean, If you had your setup or something, I could definitely see you being able to do audio editing.
Do you see yourself living on your own after school, or being close to home, living with your parents?
As of now, that's unknown. But most of the adults I know, they live with their parents. So yeah. I'm not for sure if I'm going to live with you guys. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay near Fairfax. I'm just...
Have a roommate.
You never know.
No, we got plenty of time for that.
Just the thought of moving out of a different household makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah. Makes everybody nervous.
Mm-hmm. Something new.
Yeah. I test you. Because if you stay in your comfort level all the time, you're never going to experience anything new.
Mm-hmm.